Father, we bless and praise you. Lord, that you have given us your word. Lord, you promised and said that what you'll do, you will do. Lord, thank you, we can all of us bear witness to the fact that you are faithful. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. Pray your blessings as we share your word together. And thank you, Lord, that the journey that we're on, Lord, may we have highways in our hearts. The highway that leads to the road into your presence, Lord. To meet with Jesus, Lord, thank you. It's not on this mountain or any other mountain, Lord, where you said you meet with us, Lord, but you seek seekers who seek you in spirit and in truth. And we come this morning, Lord Jesus, minister in us by your spirit and help us, Lord, to draw near to you and receive from you what you have in store for each one of us as individuals and together as your people. Bless us and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if I can have the projector on. Well, we're continuing our journey for the moment in Luke's Gospel, and last time we were on the sea, remember? Okay, right, Jesus with the disciples in the boat during the storm, remember that? And these were the closing words. In fear and amazement they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." It's amazing, isn't it? They were impressed, absolutely impressed by Jesus. Well, we look in our next section, and Luke in this section shows us that Jesus doesn't just have power over the inanimate things. I mean by that water and wind, but he has power over animate things. And we're talking about spirits now, evil spirits in particular, in this particular account. So we're going to look at what Jesus has to do with in the next one. So let's look at this, please. Yes, right. Chapter 8, verse 26. Right. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across from the Lake Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them to go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. And so he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Praise the Lord. Right, let's do our next slide then, please. Right. Just to say, you might be asking the question, what's all this got to do with me, this demon stuff and all that? Well, maybe I've not got a lot of experience, but I can tell you this, the Bible says we're in a battle against evil powers. And this story exposes them. Wherever Jesus really comes in power, the demons get a bit worried, I guess I could say. But anyway, we'll start from where it starts. They sailed, in a boat, something similar to that, I guess. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes. I put in Kersa or Gadara, which is across the lake from Galilee. Now then, there are three different words that are used for the area where Jesus came to. Sometimes it's called the Gadarenes, yes? Sometimes it's called the Gerasenes, and Gadara is the name of the place as well. But just to say, what it's talking about is, it's about an area. If I can show you the picture here, down at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, there's this area, that's Gadara, the town itself, but this area is called the area of the Gerasenes. Right? And the name of the place where Jesus came to is Kersa, which was probably the name of the place where he came to. Kersa, which is related to Gerasenes. Can you see the connection? Luke is maintaining in his translation a copy of the Hebrew sound. So it's Kersa is the name of the place. So that's where they came to. They crossed over the lake and came to that area. Right, the next please. Right, here we have a picture of it, rather than just the map. I hope you can see, this is the Jordan Valley here, all flats, right? It rises up on this side, and it rises up on that side. Gadara is a bit over there, but all this area, along here where Kersa and all that is, there's some very steep rocks and plateaus at the top where the pigs would be kept, okay? Right, so that's what the area is like. Okay, next then please. Right, so when Jesus stepped ashore, it's a nice quiet place, but you've got to climb up to get up to where the man was. But that's probably just about where Jesus stood. So, save you a trip to Israel, this. Okay? So, when Jesus stepped ashore, what happens is we're confronted by what I've described as darkness. Jesus comes across this man. In fact, there are two men, but there's one who's more prominent than the other. Matthew mentions two. He was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Matthew says they were two violent men. We read in Luke that he says they were chained, but they broke their chains. People tried to subdue them, but they couldn't. And it says, Jesus meets this man, demon-possessed. But why did he come to meet the group, would you guess? Why did the man come towards Jesus and the disciples? Sorry?
He knew he'd get healed.
I don't think he did. Not from that distance. Remember, he's a violent man. What's he going to do? He's going to beat them up. It was his nature. This man is a violent man. And when he sees people coming around, he assumes, they're coming to get me. So he'll get them first. Right? So that may be the reason why he runs towards the man, what runs towards the crowd of disciples. Right? But he's going to meet something rather different to what he expected, I guess. Okay, so next please. Right. So, he says, for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Isn't it interesting how the devil and his workers wants to draw people into death? You know, associations with death all the time. And it says, for a long time. So this man's been in a bad way for a long time. And he didn't wear clothes, right? He threw them all away, right? He wasn't one of these free hippie guys. I guess it's just that, you know, the devil wants to make you ashamed and degraded, and that's what's going on here. He didn't live in a house, he wasn't anywhere near with other people, been isolated and driven out. So, degradation, isolation, and separation. He's got no contact with his family or anything else like that, right? And so he lives out in the tombs. A miserable, miserable existence, right? Next, please. Yeah. What a sad state to be in. The man's a prisoner, isn't he? Effectively a prisoner. And I just want to make some important points of this one. The man isn't mentally ill. I mean, that's how many modern Christian scholars, you know, who don't believe the Bible, who try to talk about it, say, well, it was really just an old-time way of saying he was mentally ill. Well, he wasn't. He was mentally ill, all right, because he got demons in him. Right? But the important thing is we need to recognise that, and I must say this is one of the tragedies of the church at times, isn't it? That they make people who are mentally ill to be demonised in that sense, and the way they treat them is bad. I mean, what you see from what they did with this man, they tried to chain him up and hold him down and all this sort of stuff. And I've read of churches in Africa and other places where someone that they say is demon possessed, they beat them up, chain them up, everything else. That's not the way to treat them. Jesus gives discernment in order to be able to know how to handle things. And so, with this man, Jesus knows this man has got serious problems. He's got mental problems now, I guess, because of the long time and isolation and all the other stuff that the enemy has brought him into. But the real root cause is it's demonic, right? An evil spirit has got into him, and taken over his life. Right, next please. So, here we have the darkness defeated. Praise the Lord, eh? Yes, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't talk to me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Something's going on here. It's the demons talking, but they're using the man's voice in a way. Yes? Although, we could, sorry.
He knew who he was.
He knew who he was, yes. The sad thing about this man is, he's become so identified with the demons that the two are sort of mixed up in a way, aren't they? So as he speaks, it's the demons' message as well. And do you notice, the demons say, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" They recognize who Jesus is. And the problem with knowing who Jesus is, it's just people. Isn't that strange? Okay, so next picture, please. Yeah? Just a few thoughts on it. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Right. So, what does the name he gives say about his condition as a man and his personality? I've given you a clue already. The name he says, "My name's Legion." His name wasn't Legion, right? But he's become associated with so many demons that he thinks he's Legion now. Right? So it's the demons who are up. There's a lot of demons, but he's not called Legion. Right? But he's been so badly overtaken by all this lot that he's become associated with them in that sense. And so it's taken over his personality, sort of just a mess with all that's gone on in his life. Right? And they beg Jesus not to order them to go into the abyss. They know who's giving the orders around here, don't they? And there's a place they don't want to go. The abyss. That's prison for the devil until hell's open for business, you could say. Right, so, next please then. Right. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. Right. Who and what are the demons afraid of that they want to enter the pigs? They're afraid he's going to cast them out of the man. The demons are afraid of being cast out of the man.
Yeah.
Right? So, what else are they afraid of?
The
abyss.
Yeah.
Right? They think they're going to be locked up permanently until they're sent to hell. That's the point they're worried about, I guess. And they spot the pigs and think, "Oh well, better pigs than in the abyss."
Yeah.
Right. So Jesus gives them permission. Right. Next, please. Now this is where people get really sad and mess up this story. Something terrible. They say, "Oh, what about those poor pigs?" Right. Right. Do you think about the poor pigs? Well, two things before we look at the detail of it, yeah? God made creatures, all the creatures he made them, right? So he cares about pigs as well, right? But pigs shouldn't be there because it's Jewish territory. I know the Romans have come in and it's a lot of Greek area, but they shouldn't be there, right? Okay, and they shouldn't be herding pigs. Bad job for a Jew. Okay, right. So, what about the poor pigs? That's the steep bank that they run down, right? So the demons get into them, and the pigs get all mad and crazy, and they down the steep bank into the water and drown. Okay, right. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. What about the poor pigs? Who killed the pigs? The demons killed the pigs. Don't blame Jesus for it. He gave them permission to go into them, but he didn't kill them. Maybe he knew what they'd do, but he didn't kill them. Right, okay, so next please. Right, what's the lesson? Jesus is Lord of all. He commands even the demons, and they obey. Right. There is no choice in the matter. Jesus says, and it is done. Okay, right, he's Lord of all. Next please. Right, so here we have darkness dispelled, right, as the story goes on. There's the picture, you can't see very well, but there's the ruins of Gadara today. Right, so the place is still there. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. So they're quite a journey back to the main town from the coastal area where the pigs were herded up to where the cities and the towns were. So they travel back about 4 miles, probably a little while. Says, so that's the town. Let me just show you the picture, right? There's the town. They came from down there across on the other side, I would imagine, or something like that. Anyway, okay, so one more question. Why did Jesus permit the demons to get into the pigs?
Because he
was going to
be cast
them out. They're going somewhere else.
They're going somewhere else to help the man get rid of them, yes, but he could have just sent them to the abyss straight away. Why did he? So the people could see. You see, we can't say the pigs were scared by the antics of this man, because he'd been up and down shouting and raving all this time, and the pigs were just carrying on eating. Right? So something's happened to the pigs. So it's a real objective example that something's got into them. Right? So the demons are real. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? The other is, the demons drive the pigs down into the water, all the pigs are gone, and the people go back to town to tell it.
Where's the demons go?
Into the abyss after that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Right, so it's just a short way on the road, yeah? Okay. Question. Would the people have come just to see the man? Well, we know what he's writing, isn't it? Ranting away there on the hill there. Right. Okay. But when Jesus touches their business, we're interested. Right. Now they'll come and see. Why did Jesus do it? Because Jesus wants to show them what he can do. Right. So, all the people traipse out because they hear something's gone wrong with the pigs. They don't care about the man, I'm quite sure. Something's gone wrong with our business. The pigs have died. Let's go see what's happened, right? So off they come, right? And then we find this. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. What a sight they greeted with, aren't they? They see this man, and they knew him. They knew him well enough, right? But what a contrast. Look, it says five things there. It says, if the demons have gone out, he's free. He's a human being again. Right? Instead of being an animal being controlled by these things, right? Right? The demons have gone. He's sitting at Jesus' feet. Sitting at Jesus' feet. What's that tell you?
He's calm.
You know, there's in the 23rd Psalm about the shepherd. Yeah, he leads me beside quiet waters. He feeds me. Sheep won't eat when they're worried, right? And here's this man at peace, sitting at Jesus' feet. What a good place to be, eh? Oh my goodness. Right, and then he says he was dressed. So, where did he get the clothes from? I suspect one of the disciples had a spare suit with him or something, I don't know, or his overcoat or something, but they covered the man. Isn't that interesting? The Lord covers his shame. Right. He's made an acceptable, presentable man of you. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. Right. And then he says he was in his right mind. How about that? Right. He's thinking straight again. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful, isn't it? In his right mind. Yeah. How right is your mind now? Jesus gets you straightened out, friends. You know, that's one of the things. You might not have had demons messing your brain up, but you know, the way the world thinks, what the world teaches, can seriously screw up your head. Yes? Jesus comes right to make you right and put you in the right mind. Well, he does that for this dear man. And then he says, I put there also, all the disciples, he's in company now. At one time, you couldn't get near him. And now, there he is, minding of this group of people, and he's sitting at Jesus' feet. Wonderful. What do you think Jesus was doing?
Talking to him.
Yeah, building up a relationship. I'm sure he was, yes?
Finding some compassion, I think.
That's right, yes. Making up for lost time. Oh. Yeah, praise the Lord. Next then, please. Right. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. They were scared of what they'd seen, what had happened. He says, but They were afraid. What were they afraid of?
Because they've seen the
miracle power of God. Yeah, that would be a bit scary for them, I suppose. But I suspect...
What else is Jesus going to do?
Exactly. What else is this Jesus going to do around here? He's just messed our business up. You know? And also, you know, maybe just the presence of Jesus, as it affects demons, they begin to blow their cover. It affects people's consciences. Jesus there makes them think, oh dear, I know he was bad, but there's things in my life I'd rather him not see either. Okay, so their conscience, maybe their sense of, you know, what else is he going to mess up? Or, as you know, they were frightened. So they asked Jesus, clear off. Nicely, I'm sure, but clear off all the same. Right, next. And what does Jesus do? He got in the boat and left. Isn't that interesting? Jesus won't force himself on people, you know. Right? But he's got a plan B. Well, he was a plan A all along, really, right? Jesus goes, but Jesus is going to leave some behind, you know? Right? So, darkness dispelled. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Right? He's going to be his missionary, isn't he? But the question I want to ask you is really interesting thought, this. How many times when you read the Gospels, Jesus does a miracle, heals someone, he says, stop, don't say anything. Right? But for this man, he says, go home and blast it out everywhere. Right? Why does he make, what's the difference?
He's got to get the message over to the people,
yes. Right? But it's the area we're talking. What the answer is, it's to do with the area. Right? Jesus ministered in the Galilee, but the area where Jesus ministered around Cana of Galilee was predominantly Jewish. Right? This is largely secular and Greek influence. Right? And so they don't care about Messiah and kingdom and all that stuff. Right? They're like pigs. Yeah? Okay, so because it's influenced by the secular world and everything else, Jesus is free to tell them, it's me, I'm your saviour. Okay, so go home and just let them all know, right? Why did Jesus stop them in Israel, as we, that Jewish area? Why did Jesus stop them telling when he did a miracle then? Because people would get the wrong idea about who the Messiah was. They were expecting a Roman deliverer. Someone to come and smash the Romans and set them free. They were getting the wrong idea of the Messiah. And so Jesus says, wait, I'll just show you what Messiah is like first, and then they'll have the right idea. Right? That's why he told them to be strong. Does Jesus tell you to be strong now?
No.
He said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go and tell them. Right. That's what he said to this guy. So he's a forerunner, you could say. Next, please. Well, there's some ruins. The ruins of... can you pronounce that? Sifopolis. Sifopolis. They're there today. It's in that area, in the Gadarene area. Right? It's one of the towns of the Decapolis. Decapolis means?
Ten
towns. It was a conglomerate of Roman colonies, essentially. Roman towns. Right? You see it's Roman structure there, isn't it? So, that's the area, the ten towns. That's what it's called. Right? So, he's to go and tell them the good news. Next, please. Right, so, he's the ideal evangelist, isn't he? They know him, they know what he was, and now they know what he is, and they think, what's the difference? And he can say, Jesus done it. Right? Simple, isn't it? It's really good. Okay, so the man went away and told them all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Isn't that interesting? What did Jesus tell him to do? Jesus told him to go home and tell them how much
God
had done for you. Right? I mean, it's all very simple, you know, but it's there. Jesus says, go and tell them how much God's done for you. And what does he say? How much Jesus has done for me. Is there a connection?
Yes.
You're getting it. Right? Luke's there to tell you, though, this Jesus isn't just a man. Even the winds and waves obey him, the demons obey him, it may be. We've just got God to deal with here. But it's true, of course. Yes. So there's your Decapolis area, and he goes over there, he says, he went away and told all over town. Right? He goes home, and I wonder what his family thought when they saw him walk up the driveway. Right, mate. Well, there's something different about him, yes? Right. And then, you know, the neighbours and further afield, yeah, word gets out fast, you know. Right, here's the pig killer. Right. You remember our pigs? It was his fault, you know. But maybe they softened after a while. Isn't it interesting how Jesus gets through to the community? Do you think that man's ministry was effective?
Yes.
Absolutely was. Yeah. Jesus didn't just send him there for on a wild goose chase, you know. He sent him for a reason, and I'm sure it was to reach other people in that community. Go home and tell your family and the other people how much God has done for you. Right. So, and that's that area at the south end of the Galilee. Okay, thank you. So, question. Why did Jesus go there in the first place? Jesus
saw a need.
Jesus saw a need. Isn't that interesting?
He could be in two places at once.
He could be two places.
No, but I mean, he had a plan and God had a plan and
yes.
Purpose.
Jesus was open to the Holy Spirit's guidance. I think that's the bottom line for us. Mm-hmm. Somehow, what Jesus knows, I don't know about this situation, but somehow Jesus knows he's got to go over the water to the Gadarene area because God's got something for him to do there. And it's a man in need. It's going to be helped. Is that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. You know, be a lasting witness, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yes. So, Jesus went there because Jesus cares about people who are dying, people who need help. Right, so, over we go. Right, just a few more thoughts, just to concentrate minds now, alright? Yeah. What do we learn about the demonic world from that story? There are several things it teaches us about the demonic world. These are evil spirits. They're fallen angels, we would call them. Right? Evil spirits. Right? Number one is that they're real. The pigs didn't get upset at the man. They got driven off by the demons, right? So they're real. Okay? And Ephesians 6 makes that clear for all of us. We're not just fighting precious blood. There are evil forces at work. That's important to grasp that, yeah? And that doesn't mean to say you see demons everywhere, you know? Demons under the bed and all that, yeah? Right? Yeah, people do, don't they? Yeah, well, that's not the case. But I will promise you this, where Jesus begins to minister by his Holy Spirit in powerful ways, it blows the cover of the demons. Yeah. Right? So, you know, they may be just keeping their heads down, but Jesus will expose them. Right, okay, so they're real. Then, number two is, they recognize Jesus as Lord. Right? They have no problem in recognizing who this Jesus really is. Yeah? Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So, it's human beings that have the problem. Right? The devil and his workers have no problem in realizing Jesus is boss. Right? But it's human beings. They've got a blockage. Right? Jesus is Lord. Right. Then, they're afraid of the abyss. Why? Because that's where they're going. God's going to lock them up forever. Right? And they don't want it. Right? So, you know, good news is, they're not going to be around forever. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord for that. So, right. And the last one is, they desire a physical means of expressing their evil. Isn't that strange? These spirits want to have bodies so they can do things more. Do more damage. That's what it's about. So, if humans won't do, pigs will. For a while, yeah? So, desire physical means of expressing their evil intentions. I don't understand an awful lot about this stuff, to be honest, yeah? And I don't particularly want to know anymore about it, but I know Jesus is in charge, and he can sort it out. Praise the Lord. Yeah? All right, next then, please. That's what we learned about the demonic world. What do we learn about the natural world of people, the townsfolk? Right? They're concerned about their business. And that's true today, isn't it? Don't bother me with all this religious stuff. I've got things to do. I'm a practical man. Don't want to talk about airy-fairy stuff. The hairy-fairy stuff is the thing that's going to make things last forever. Yeah. So they're concerned with their business. World-to-world, world-to-day stuff, right? Then the other is, they're powerless to help the man. I'm sure they're some of the best doctors in town. Right? Top-class surgeons, fantastic psychiatrists, and all that sort of stuff. Right? But in this state, this man's in, they can't help him. They chain him up, they minimise the damage, but they can't help him. That's the world for you, friends. If you've got sin problems, there's only one person who can deal with it, and he's called Jesus. Right? You've got real spiritual problems, only Jesus can sort them out. Right, so, They were afraid of Jesus as Lord. That's the people. Why were they afraid? Yes. Possibly the demands that he might make on them. And that's still true today. I don't want your religion because it might mean I'll have to change. You will have to change if that's the way you're thinking. Yes. Because Jesus has a different road for you to go on. It's a better one. It's a good one. Right? But it may not be always the choices that you like at first anyway. Right? Have your way, Lord, in my life. Do you say that? I hope you do. But it's not an easy prayer to pray if you mean it. Because he may just take you seriously. And so, they are afraid of Jesus as Lord and the demands he may make. Well, he knows what's good for you, is all I can say. Praise his name. Lastly, what do we learn about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, a few things. First, he's Jesus who is Lord of all. He's in charge. He's in control. Amazing. Wonderful. Right. He commands and is obeyed. The demons do it. So why don't you? How about that? He tells you to do things and you say, well, I'll think about it, Lord. You can't say Lord if you're going to say think about it. Right? You knew that, didn't you? When you call Jesus Lord, it means yes, sir. Right? That's one of the things. Right? He sets men free and restores to life and life in its fullness. This man has been a wreck. And Jesus brings him back to everything that he lost and more, better. Right? So Jesus sets men free and restores to life. And he won't force himself on us. Okay? He's waiting for you to respond to him. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I mean, God could just blast a lot of them. But he waits patiently for you to respond to him. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you come to Jesus, and the amazing thing is God, by his grace, touches our hearts to make us willing. I know that's what happened in my life. I'm sure it did in most all of us. Yeah? But we're willing to come to him. And you know, he blesses us and he ministers to us. And he gives us his life. He won't force himself on us. So that it's a free response. That's what love's all about, isn't it? It's not forced, it's a free response to his wonderful love to us. And then, I like this little bit. I thought I'd throw this one in. He uses the saved to reach the reluctant. Isn't that nice? Jesus went out of town, but he left his mission man. Isn't that wonderful? He uses the saved man to reach the reluctant. They didn't want Jesus around, but the more they saw what he'd done for the man, then the more they thought, hey, maybe he could do things for me. Praise the Lord. So it's all about Jesus. I know the demons get a look in and the people get a look in, but freedom about Jesus. Who he is and what he can do for us. Praise his name. So you may not be having too many problems at the moment with demons. Yeah, but, you know, they're about, they cause problems, they mess things up. But who's in charge? Jesus is Lord. Right? So walk with him and you're in safe ground, in territory. Praise his name. I think that's it, is it? Yes. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you care about people. Lord, people that are so messed up, Lord, that nobody else wants to be near them. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that you came to set prisoners free. Free from the demonic. Free from the terrible power of sin in people's lives as well, Lord. The things we've done wrong that tie us up and chain us down. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. That you were willing not just to go across the sea to meet us, Lord, and to reach us, but to come from heaven into our world. Lord Jesus, thank you. You bought the remedy for us, Lord. It was your death that purchased our salvation. Thank you. And so, Lord, may we hear your voice as, Lord, we sit at your feet, clothed in our right minds, Lord, enjoying your presence and your love. Lord, thank you, there's work to do. Lord, while the man wanted to be with you physically, Lord, you said he got a job to do. Lord, thank you, you promised to be with us by your Spirit in our hearts, wherever we go now. Lord, may we be about your business in our daily lives, in Jesus' precious name.